So I drive an Audi and I live Bayside. Where did I go for my holiday?
Yeah, well, I know where you went. You went to Noosa. Did you see everyone up from Bay Street up there anyway?
Very much.
Hi, Roger.
Yeah.
Hi,
yeah.
Denise.
Lots of jumpers over. The weather was a bit cool. Jumpers over shoulders, you know. But we had a lovely time. Anyway, so when you go away on holiday as a family, it's nice to have a TV show that you're all watching together.
Very true.
So the kids go to bed, grandkids go to bed, then sit down and watch a show. Now, albeit they fall asleep, the parents of the grandchildren fall asleep pretty early because, you know, they're
knackered.
They're tired. Anyway, we started watching Mike, which is the life
What's
story.
Mike?
My life story of Mike Tyson.
Oh, I've heard about this.
It's very good.
Is it like a drama, like a reconstruction? Or
Yeah.
Some guys play Mike Tyson.
Yeah, without his permission, by the way. I mean, if you were ever going to play a character and not ask for permission, you shouldn't do that, because if you saw Tyson sometime, he's going to whack you. Anyway, so we're watching it, and Alex goes, you know I've met Mike Tyson, don't
you? Because he's a chef. In a restaurant or?
No, it goes way back when he used to live in Las Vegas. In LA, when he was in LA, that's right. He was in LA and his dad was buying a new car. And Mike Tyson was there with Don King.
With Don King?
I'm going, wow. stop the TV show. We need to talk about this. He goes, yeah, buy a new car. Anyway, Tyson buys 5 BMWs.
5?
Bang.
Wow.
Straight off the bat. I know you've done that occasionally.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Anyway.
Which 5 was beers, maybe, not yeah. 5 BMWs. Jeez.
Which was incredible. And then, of course, his dad bought just one, which was, you know, still good. So we're watching the show. And I say to Alex, wouldn't it be funny if that scene...
Oh, yes.
...came up in the show? I swear this is true. 2 scenes later... Mike Tyson, mate, Tyson, it's in a BMW. Built
really?
Ship, and I said, have 5 BMWs, please. Yeah. And
so said, the scene's actually in there.
The scene is that now we were looking around for Alex and his dad in the background, but no, he wasn't there. But I went, that's scary. What is that? Is that synchronicity? Is that
coincidence? Something? Yeah. It's something. That's amazing.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And so in the scene that he bought the 5 BMWs?
He bought the 5. Yeah, they just cut to the scene. And it was kind of like in his rolling days when he had a lot of money and that sort of thing. And things were happening for him. But then to tell a story and then to appear on TV.
Yeah, that's incredible. Like you preempted it.
Like the coincidence, the synchronicity gods looked down on us and said, here you go.
Even better than him watching it going, oh my God. If he hadn't mentioned it, he would have just been watching it. Then that scene would have come up and he would have gone, hang on a minute. I was there.
So it was a win either way.
Yeah.
I was there for this scene.
Yeah, but then
you look like you're dining out.
It's like there's a little bit of a lack of belief in that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think you dreamt that absolutely, you know.
Wow.
He's a keen listener of the show. He loves the show, by the way.
Good on you, Alex.
He's always telling, he told the story about Siegfried and Roy, when he used to go to sleep and you could hear the lions roaring because he lived a few houses away from Siegfried and Roy. Do you know that story?
No.
When he lived in Vegas, Siegfried and Roy lived around the corner.
And you could hear the lions.
And when he would go to sleep, you could hear the lions roaring.
Wow.
And they were the guys that had their head bitten off, didn't they?
One of them did, What did Alex feel about that, I wonder?
I guess, is it reassuring to have a lion roaring or is it tiger roaring?
No, they're scary. When you go to the zoo and you hear a lion roaring, it's full on.
Imagine that cat walking along the top of your fence.
Your cat's got out, mate.
Just imagine how big the kitty litter tray would have to be if you had tigers at home.
I can't believe they just got them at home.
Yeah, it's a bit... Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, America's got some weird rules.
Yeah, it's got some very weird rules. Well, but anyway.
That's incredible.
That's incredible. We should change the title of the show to Synchronicity. What's happening out there? Do a whole series of synchronicities.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Have you never had a major coincidence? I was trying to think if I have.
Only with my twin brother, who, you know, people say, yeah, do you have any of that twin stuff?
Oh, yeah.
So years ago, my neighbour, this old guy, Pete, who was quite a character. He was like an artist or something. And he used to tell me how he would hang out with Barry Dickens. You know Barry Dickens, the writer?
Yes,
Bon Von Von, who wrote the great book, The Crooks of Epping. And He told me once he went to hear, he goes, oh, I have to tell you this story. I went to hear, who was that guy that wrote, he was an artist and he wrote, Robert Hughes.
He wrote that very famous book. It had a car accident.
Yes, that's the guy. Yeah. Anyway, he was giving a talk at the art gallery and he had a slideshow and me and Barry went. And we sat there, about 20 minutes in, Barry said, bugger this, I'm going. And I said, yes, good work. So we got up and we left. But unfortunately, Barry tripped over the cord of the side projector and brought the whole thing down. And I go, when was this? He goes, 1978 or something like so long ago.
Yeah.
But anyway, he gave me a book, which is a famous Czechoslovakian book called The Good Soldier Sieck, which is a very obscure, I think it's Czechoslovakian, comedy book about, it's like a bumbling soldier, but it's legendary book in, it's like their Henry Lawson or whatever.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I had to pick up my twin brother who lives overseas from the airport, and I'd been reading this book. I had it next to my bed. He got off the plane with the same book.
Oh, that's good.
That's a bit weird. Because that's an obscure, that's not like you're both reading, I don't know, Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Which everyone's, a lot of people read that. But to read The Good Soldier Fieck is unusual.
That's a bit like this show. As in,
yeah.
Is it a coincidence that two things are somehow related?
Or is it not?
Is it not? Well, maybe it's not like this show.
Maybe we should have the music. Here it comes. Ooh, spooky.
Somehow related. Now, please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Well, here we are. We're in the recording and
You've had a big week.
I've been in Canberra. I'll tell you about Canberra next time.
All right.
Sure. But I've been and then the week before that was a grand final. So
congratulations, you're a Collingwood Geelong supporter. Sorry,
Cats.
The Cats.
As I always say, I had a lot to do with it. I went, end up going.
You were there.
Yeah, me and Kitty, my daughter, went because she's a big
in the family.
Me and her are the biggest supporters, and I couldn't get tickets.
How did you get them?
Well, I just sent out text messages to anyone I'd done a gig for who had any connection with
football,
like Brownie.
Yeah.
Brownie tried but couldn't get any. People at the front bar had one ticket, but I said, I need two. Anyway, this guy who runs corporate boxes, he sent me a message. Well, initially he said, I don't really deal with that kind of stuff. I deal with corporate boxes. I'm like, whatever.
Well, that'd be all right.
And then I was actually on a plane about to take off. Where was I going? Oh, to Sydney, that's right. The day before the grand final, I had to do a gig in Sydney that night for veterinarians. they were great. Anyway, as the plane was getting ready to take off, I had my phone. I didn't realize this guy rings me and he goes, "Oh, one of my mates wants to sell tickets to the grand final because he's got he's like a dentist or something. He's got entry into the corporate area now." I went, "I'll buy them." And so this guy rings me, and then as this guy's ringing me, the hostess is telling me off. The bloke's saying, "It's just." Can't have your phone on. I'm like, It's grab all tickets.
Oh, hold them. Stop the plane.
So I said to this guy, I'll buy them. I'll ring you in about an hour and a half or whatever. So then I met him the next day in the pub, gave him the cash.
There you go.
And we went. Yeah, it was,
sure, they weren't just, lucky they weren't just printed off the internet.
This is some scam. This is what Kieran's like, it's definitely a scam. I'm going to Google him. Hang on, he's got to practice. I said, it's a very big scam if he's invented a dentist's name or whatever and...
So what do you get? Do you get something on your phone or do you get something?
No, he gave me printed out tickets.
So the physical, with the barcode.
I tell you, I did hold my breath as we went in and it went ding. I went, oh, thank God. And we got in and they were great seats. And we were there and we obviously watched Geelong win and it was great.
It was just like a...
It was a walkover. But it
was like a practice session for them. I played golf with Brownie, Jonathan Brown.
He chose the Norm Smith medal. He was one of the people that chose... Which was Isaac Smith. So that's the best, for people that don't know, that's the best player on the ground on the day.
I said to Brownie about 8 weeks ago, who were you liking for the grand final?
Yeah.
And I said, I'll go first. I said, I'm liking Geelong. I picked it a long time.
You picked it.
But I didn't announce it. And I nearly rang Brownie to say, remember how I picked it? I wanted to brag a little bit, but I was very
happy. He's probably busy.
And now you've got the, talk about twins. The coach of your team,
yeah,
his twin brother is now coaching
Essendon.
Essendon.
Which is a shame because I was up for that job. But anyway. Between you, me, Ricky Nixon, everyone's hat was in the ring. Yeah, Wayne Carey.
Yeah, you'd be good. Yeah. I mean, you know, you'd follow football, what, for 3 years?
3 or 5 years, six years, 7 years, maybe.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's been a big couple of weeks.
Congratulations, good stuff.
No, I didn't do anything to do with it. I was just there, but it was exciting. We went to the park afterwards where they all come out and get to speak to the fans. And
in Geelong?
No, well, Geelong was the next day. We didn't make it down there, but no, they come out to MCG, the park near the MCG at like 7:30 at night.
Do they really?
Yeah, they come out on the stage and speak to them.
Outside or inside?
It was outside. It was freezing.
It was a cold day, that's right.
Anyway, we should get our topics. Enough footy chat. This is junk time.
You could learn something, but you know, we'll move on.
If you want to hear me talk about footy, have a listen to Junk Time, the most recent episode. It's Adam Rosenbach's podcast. About he's been doing it for years about football.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm on that. I'm on that as a Geelong supporter. Will Anderson's on the phone. Oh, it's all going off.
It's all happening.
Michael Chamberlain's the other host. Anyway, we should get the topics.
Wonder who Sam Barrack's for.
Yeah, I reckon no one. She could be a Swan supporter, actually.
She should be an umpire, I reckon.
Yes.
She'd be a goal umpire, I reckon.
Big supporter of the AFLW, I'd say, Sam.
Yeah, absolutely. Good honour. Good work.
Anyway, what are the topics, Sam?
Tinder and Antarctica.
Wow.
Okay. Tinder. So I was in a relationship before all that started.
Well, same here.
So I have no idea. I know there's Tinder and I know there's Grindr. Is it Grindr?
That's the gay man one, yeah, I believe. Yeah, it's Grindr.
And the reason I remember that is because it's a really famous surf spot.
Oh,
and it's also something my mum said at a party once.
What'd she say?
She said...
Glenn, get off the Grindr.
No, she said, we had some people over... And Mum said, Arthur and I are going to go into the kitchen and do a quick grind. Would anyone like to? Does anyone want to join us? Do a quick grind. I mean,
she talking about coffee, was she?
She was like, yeah, because Dad used to have a grinder.
You put the thing in, the beans, and then
make your percolated coffee and stuff. Anyway.
Maybe that's where they got the name from.
Yeah.
Grindr.
So you got your, and then you've got, so Grindr is the gay one.
Yep.
Yeah. And then Tinder is the
straight one.
Straight one. And is that the swipe right thing?
Yes. Swipe left. And then there's Hinge.
I was talking to
the girl in the local cafe and she went on a date on Hinge. That's where the female gets to choose.
I thought there was one called Bumble that was the
Yes. Pick. I don't know. Yeah, there is Bumble. But I know
Hinge. The women have the power
in Hinge.
Meaning you, the guys go, Hi, I'm here.
I'm Glenn. I'm here. And then they choose. Whereas Tinder, blokes can choose, women can choose.
And then if you choose in Tinder, what happens next? Do you have a chat? Do you meet
up? Yeah. One of my brother's nephews, who they're all in their 20s, he met his girlfriend. Now he lives with her. A lot of people meet through. When I do comedy and I talk to young people in the crowd and they're a couple, I said, how do you meet? And it's always on the internet. Because not everyone's just trying to get out there and... You know, sleep with a person.
Because people
are looking for relationships on Tinder.
But some people are looking for a quick. So I don't know, how would you tell the difference?
Well, I don't know.
Hookup, is that what they call it?
It's a quick hookup, man. And that's, you know, whatever. Fair enough. But sometimes one of my friends was saying that they just use Tinder to meet people. If they're in a bar, they go on Tinder. And then they just, in our day, we just go up and start talking to a group of girls or a group of people. They use it in the same way. So it's not necessarily to... Say, let's go on a date. It's just to meet people in a bar.
Wasn't there one that you put your thing in, then you knew if someone else in the room was looking?
Yeah, that's Tinder, isn't it?
Oh, okay.
I don't know. What's the one? What's the one where for people that want to have affairs? It was called Trevor Ashley or something like
really?
That.
Really?
Yeah. And then they released all the people's details.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You can go on there as a married person. And
you just want a little bit of...
Action on the side. Yeah.
And they have to. They also are married in one action on the
Not
side.
Trevor Ashley. Ashley Martin? No, that's the hair. No. Well, something like that.
But was it a disguising name or something? Was it?
Yeah.
Because surely if you're at that apps on your phone, surely your husband or wife.
Know. Well.
They pick up the phone and go, hang on a second.
You don't know. I don't know, but I do know several, like, my sister-in-law met her partner on Tinder. or one of those dating sites. It might have, but before Tinder, there was eHarmony, wasn't there?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
eHarmony.
Yeah.
That's what I say that when I'm doing when I see an older couple. What you guys met in eHarmony? What's going on down here? Because if you've got a couple in their 30s or 40s, there's a chance that they met on eHarmony or one of those websites.
Didn't the film Social Network, didn't the idea of swiping come from Facebook? Remember there was an original app.
I didn't watch that movie.
Oh, that was a great film. What they did on the computer within the university, you could do all the pictures of all the girls would come.
Yeah, right.
And then you could choose or delete or whatever. So you could meet people easily.
Yeah, right.
But now it's like the swipe right thing.
It's swipe right is if you like them. I don't know. We don't know because we've never been on it. Someone saw my photo on it because some guy got his photo at a gig with me, and that he used that as his Tinder profile. It's like that's going to get the girls in. But also, you know, Celia Piccola, she does this in stand up, so we're not talking out of school. She would go on Tinder and then she would get taken off, and she would say, and they'd say, "Stop pretending to be Celia Piccola."
Oh yeah, right. Yeah,
because her friends would ring her up and go, "There's someone on Tinder pretending to be you," and she's like, "No, that's me."
Yeah, I know, but there've been people who've pretended to be me on Facebook, I think.
Oh yeah,
and they all pretended to be Russell Coit.
Well, of course,
yeah.
Someone was pretending to be me on Facebook very early on because when I went to see Mum one day, she said, "Oh, your cousin Susan's not happy with you." Why? Because you haven't friended her on the Facebook, she said. I went, "I'm not on Facebook." And she goes, "Yeah, you are." And then someone got it up for me. And this guy was pretending to be me. Yeah. And he was like, but he's post. So he would post stuff like, "Going to the movies with Hamish and Andy, having a great time as a comedian." I'm like, what? So I was always hanging out with other comedians and celebrities. Then I joined Facebook and I tried to friend this guy as the real Dave O'Neill, and the fake Dave O'Neill wouldn't friend me. He wouldn't let me into his world.
That's weird.
Yeah. Imagine, but that's that thing. You know, he could have been anyone. Why did he choose to be me?
Because it was power.
Yeah.
Well, he could have been anyone, but because you're the everyman. You're the likable.
He should have friended Cousin Susan. That's rude.
Yeah, that's very rude. I mean, he should have been smart enough to friend everybody. It wasn't going to hurt him to friend everybody.
Exactly.
There was a guy at Melbourne Uni that pretended to be me.
That's the alumni. To get access to the gym.
Yeah, he got in the pool, got the cheap food at the cafeteria or something. And
it is weird trying to pretend someone who has a profile, though, like Glenn Robbins. Yeah. But I suppose you would just go, "Oh, no, it's a different, same name, different person, mate."
Well, and I guess you go beep and you're in. And once you're in, no one's going to. Yeah. And they said, "Do you want to get the police involved? Let's get on to this guy." And I don't want to get the police involved.
Well, I could join that alumni. Maybe we should join the alumni and just hang out there at the gym.
I reckon you could probably get... I think it's for old students to go. I think you could go back there.
Yeah, well, for free or...
Well, I think so.
I went to the gym at Melbourne Uni for a very short time, but I know where it is. I remember going to it for about 3 months and thinking, "Oh, this is my new lifestyle. I'm going to go to the gym."
Let's have a hookup. We'll do it via Tinder.
Imagine that. We'd be older than the more mature age students there. Like, yeah, those guys.
Yeah. Do you pay for Tinder?
You must pay at some point. Yeah, they must advertise. Look, we don't really know much about it.
Because you would have to. I mean, obviously, there's got to be some catch.
Well, I mean, Tinder's good in a way because in our day, we can only really meet girls from the same suburb. Yeah. Or the suburb across, or you go to a band or a nightclub, or through friends.
And you get their phone number, and then you're ringing the dad answers.
The dad answers, I do stand up about that. Mm. Be like this, 874-3615 Johnson household. Oh, hello, Mr. Johnson.
Who's this?
Yeah, that's the thing. We had to go through a whole series of filters.
Yep.
Filters to get a date with a young lady. These guys are just going ding, ding.
Yeah. I mean, bang, and they're away. I mean, within seconds, the girl, you know, or guy, can know that it's on.
Was there anything more nerve-wracking than going around to pick up a girl for the first time?
Oh, yeah. And having to go around and knock on the front door.
I remember my friend Edwina, who was a good friend of mine. I didn't go out with her, but a good friend of mine. I remember some boy came to pick her up and just tooted the horn.
Yeah, that's not
good. And her mum's like, do not go out.
He must come to the front door.
He must come to the front door.
Mm.
Which she made him, he did. So,
And then you check them out. You know, do they look you in the eye?
Yes.
Do they, you know, any tattoos? Do they smell like smoke? Do they, you know, what sort of car are they driving?
Well, what about that one where you pick up the girl and the dad opens it and he's in the police uniform? You're like, oh, no. Even a railway's uniform would send fear down your spine. Oh, no, he's in a uniform.
But anyway, so it lives on strong, Tinder.
Tinder's still big.
Still big. And if you had nothing to do, you have a bit of a scroll and you go, she or he looks lovely. Hi there. Do I look lovely to you? No, you don't. See you later.
I just know when I go and do footy clubs and stuff and there's groups of young men, I go, all right, who's the one smashing it on Tinder? And they always point to a guy. Hey, this guy. And then they get their phones out during the gig and I go, what, are you blowing up on Tinder, are you, mate? What's going on there? So, but I know people that also go to, like, do a gig or whatever, or the girl in the cafe went back to New Zealand and she got a date in New Zealand. So you can go to different countries and different states and just get on Tinder or Hinge or whatever and then get a date.
So the only thing is, I suppose, but if it goes bad, can then they write stuff about you on your
thought? Oh, it's like Uber. Give you ratings.
Does it work like that?
No, I don't think so.
Because
that's what they reckon the problem with Tinder is that me and you would have met partners and girlfriends back in the day through friends of friends.
Yep.
Through, yep. And so there was always some vague connection.
Yep.
Where they knew you weren't a serial killer.
Yep.
Or,
yep,
you know, fresh out of jail.
Yep.
Or whatever. Because sometimes there's those horrific stories where these guys get out of jail or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just criminal. They're like psychopaths. And they get on Tinder, they meet women.
Bang. And, yeah. Yep. And the hard part about it is that when it's through friends, though, is that if you break up, then the friends have to take sides because they go...
Well, we've all learned that. Never, ever, when your mate breaks up with a girlfriend, say, yeah, I never really liked her. But then they get back together. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
We don't know much about Tinder. So what about the Antarctica? You ever been?
I might have talked about this before. I did a thing as Russell Coit for some of the people down
there. Oh, you did? For the people down there?
Yeah, I gave him a pep talk as Russell Coit. I just got him to send me a list of all the annoying things they do. And then I just said, hi, guys, you're doing a good job down there. But, Johnny, can you stop showing your photos of your dog? And can you stop eating the nice biscuits? And can you stop...
Was there any ones where you went, oh, I don't know about reading that one out?
Oh, no, they're all for toys. You
Phil,
know.
Stop touching me on the ass.
Yeah, know. Yeah. So anyway, then because then it was like if you want to go down there, you got to fly and then you do a ship. And I'm going, oh, I get seasick.
Can't you land there?
Well, there's this one wasn't near the airport, but they're built. I believe this was a few years ago now. They're building an airport at Casey, whether or not they have built it, so you could fly in. Obviously, you'd have to be in the right month of the year. But,
yes.
But yeah, so I reckon it's on my bucket list. One thing I would love to see. Albeit maybe from a plane, which you have done.
I've done that.
Which is 8 hours down, 20 minutes there, 8 hours back. Is it?
No, it was 11 hours round trip.
Oh, round trip, right.
From Tullamarine.
Yeah.
Which is just fly over.
You fly over. And was it awe-inspiring or you go, yeah, not bad?
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. But then you just go, oh, yeah, it was good because it was good weather. We had good weather. And he flew down so low you could see the huts and stuff.
Oh, really? You know, yeah. It's a desert, don't you?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Because it doesn't get rain.
Yeah, right.
Because that's what deserts are. It's not to do with sand or ice. It's to do with how much rain you get. So, therefore, I wonder about the weather down there. Would they probably get a lot of good weather?
Yeah, you've got to be careful on those. Those sightseeing trips are amazing. But, you know, on the way back, the hostie.
Oh, you ready to play games?
No, the steward goes, everyone just got pissed on the way back.
Oh.
They literally just rolled the trolley down and left it there so people could serve themselves.
Because
it was just like a party plane at the end.
But
I was talking to one of them and she said, yeah, one of these flights from Air New Zealand hit a mountain.
Yeah, I don't want to hear that.
Famous incident. And yeah, everyone obviously
died.
But
that died. Was the, yeah.
Air New Zealand flight. Oh my God.
I mean, you sort of bad weather. As I said before, you sort of think when you're a pilot, first day, I reckon you'd learn about mountains.
Yeah, don't fly into one.
Don't fly into one because the plane will stop quickly and everyone will die.
Oh.
So I'm going to places where there are high mountains. Oh, shit. I remember that. Well, I did that day at school. Yep. Avoiding mountains.
Yeah.
And I had the same thing. I was up at Wangaratta. I looked at the pilot who was at the bar looking a bit nervous. I said, what's wrong? He goes, oh, it's getting dark and there's a few mountains on the way back. I said, what? I said, let's get going now.
Anyway, go.
Antarctica. How is it different from the Arctic? It's one's north, one's south. That's about it. And they're both freezing. They are both...
I think the
melting Arctic, at the same rate.
No, I think the Arctic's sort of attached to bits of Canada and Russia and stuff, whereas Antarctica sits by itself, doesn't it?
That's a good point. I
might be wrong.
And is it affected by the ozone layer?
Oh yeah, I think it's all melting, but it's melting.
I read somewhere the other day. It's like 4.7 meters thick or something. I reckon that's what that wall is up there in the room we're in here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And don't they do things where they drill down and can tell stuff from the ice? Is that what they do, a drill? They can read it when it was up and when it was down and all that sort of shit.
Well, they're always fighting over the Antarctic, like, you know, people trying to claim, because there's a sort of a general agreement that, you know, they're not going to take resources out, because the resources down there, they could mine down there, you know, and stuff like that, but... They're not doing that. I don't think they're doing that at the moment. But yeah, it's kind of, they've got the different areas. There's different camps, isn't there? There's an Australian camp.
Yeah, there's different areas of research.
Yeah.
So you go down there, you stand right on the South Pole. Literally. That'd be quite painful.
Yes. Well, you know, like Tommy Little went down there and started Rusty from the Skeeties, because they both ran marathons down there. You can do a marathon. Yeah, you can do a marathon down there. Oh, no, I remember seeing Rusty's photos because I read his book. Yeah.
What, in summer, surely?
Yeah, it would have been summer, yeah. They reckon that you go down there and the penguins, because they're not used to humans, will just come straight up to you and stand next to you.
Haven't had the bad treatment that we've given them. What can we say about
what are these famous explorers? Shackleton.
Scott of the Antarctic.
Scott of the Antarctic. Then there was Shackleton who that was, now, served under Scott.
Did I read that book? Did I watch that doco? He was incredible. What did he go down there?
Two or three times.
Yep.
Mawson's
hut.
Yep.
Has Shackleton got a hut down there?
I think he has. I don't know.
So they go down there, build a hut, come back again.
Well, they build a hut in his honour. And then there was that great quote from O2 was on. I thought it was Shackleton or one of them, but no, it wasn't Shackleton. It's and they used it in one of Lena Woodley's shows where he said, because what happened? They went to the South Pole and they got there and they were coming back, but they realised that the Oates was holding the team up because his feet got frozen and stuff, and so he sacrificed himself for the team. So he said to them...
They were trying to get out.
They were trying to get out, but he was holding them back.
Because he was slow, because he was numb toes.
Inside the tent, he said, what did he say? I'm going out for a little bit, maybe some time, and just walked out into a blizzard.
So it'd be 40 below.
Yeah, and he died basically.
And they didn't
away.
Go, hey, no, don't. They said, no. Look, pop out.
Yeah, let him go.
Just let him pop out and, you know. God,
maybe some time, yeah. So British, isn't it?
Very honourable thing to do.
It is.
I suffer from cold feet. Must be circulation or something. But
you'd be no good down there.
I'd be no good down there. Even if you had, like, Ugg boots or something, wouldn't be good enough.
What they would do, they would go... As they were going along, they would bury food and stuff for their return. And if they couldn't make it to that food drop, they'd just starve. So,
could you drill a thing in the ice and get some fish? Here's a question.
I think that's more North Pole than South Pole and Canada and stuff.
Is it?
Yeah, that sort of.
Why don't the fish freeze in that water?
Good question.
You know what? I know the answer.
What, are they moving?
No, they've got a protein in their blood that's like antifreeze.
Oh, wow.
Which is pretty handy.
Well, they put in the radiator.
Doesn't I don't want to steal his material, but doesn't Brad Oakes do a great joke about
the fish? Yeah,
the fish that swims near a volcano.
They find a fish down in the ocean, and it's at some amazing temperature. And he goes, the joke is, yeah, how would you cook that?
Yeah,
yeah.
Great joke.
I'd always wanted to go to Antarctica, but
would you like? So you're fine over it. You would like to get your feet. So would I.
Yeah.
So I would like to stand there.
There'll be someone listening that's got some kind of connection.
Well, there are like highfalutin top end trips you can do.
Yeah, you can go to Argentina and get a boat and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And then they'll have a dinghy, and you get off the dinghy and you'll go onto the thing and have a bit of a wander around.
Sounds dangerous.
Oh, by the way, while you're on there, just don't slip over, because you might go in and we can't get you out. It's too cold.
Sounds dangerous. But those cruises, I've read about them, it's always like... come on board our select crew. You'll be with 20 other people. At night, we have lectures and dances. Yeah, you're like, God.
Lectures and dances.
It's like a swingers party.
Oh, look, I think it would be an incredible thing to do.
I did raise it with Kira, but she didn't seem that keen. So
yeah, I have to go by myself. I think it would be, you would go through some pretty treacherous waters. Didn't Shackleton get frozen in a few times?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you're going along. Well, there's a bit of ice. There's another bit of ice. Hang on. A lot of ice. Oh, hang on. There's ice all around us. Hang on. We're not moving. I suppose then you could get out.
Yeah.
Have a wander out. But you would have to stay there for...
long time.
Long time. You'd want to have a pack of cards, wouldn't you? A good book.
Monopoly.
Yeah. But he did make it. Did he die? How old was he when he died?
He was very young when he died, but he didn't die
down there.
He died on a boat of a heart attack, I think. Shackleton
got back to England, and was he from?
Yeah, he was married, but he slipped
and banged his
in the bath. I think. I know he died. A lot of those guys die in debt because you know when they're explorers.
Yeah.
They're often like him, ex-army or navy or whatever, and then they become these explorers. They've always got to raise money to go on these. That's why they give those talks.
Yeah.
They go on the lecture circuit to raise money, but he died in debt, Shackleton, and yet he'd been to...
Hang on, he did say much. That shouldn't be...
It's not right, is it?
What years was it, did he do it?
I don't know.
1800s? Late
he was in World War One, so around that kind of time frame, before World War One, turn of the century. So... I don't know. I mean, you might die in debt. Who knows?
You never know. God,
Glenn Robbins found today living in a derelict house.
I might get a gambling habit going or something. And
everyone's going, oh, gee, I thought he'd be all right.
I think he did all right with
it. And you go, well, Shackleton went to Antarctica 3 times and he wasn't all right.
Just be so... I mean, I know it's a dumb thing to say, but it'd just be so cold all the time.
Yeah. Freezing.
And that period, they didn't have your Kakadu. What are
they? Yeah, they have your Kakadu. Kathmandus. Your Kathmandus.
Yeah. I've got my puffer. They didn't have your puffer jackets.
No,
they had a woolly jumper and a woolly hat.
They have a lot of woolen stuff.
Yeah, and frozen garments. Feet.
Oh.
And man. What did we do with these black toes? Chop them off.
Oof. It'd be hard. It'd be a harsh life.
Yeah.
Well, should we have some thinking music?
Yes.
What are we going to do? I don't think there's ads for Tinder or anything like that. Oh, there's someone ringing now. That's a Monday. That's the old day Tinder, the phone.
Would mobile phones work down the Antarctica? So you could,
they'd have satellite phones.
Satellite phones, of course. I reckon. Absolutely.
I know because when my brother's been in Africa, he rings, so I'm on the satellite phone here.
So Tinder, there's no jingle. Tinder, get on the Tinder, swipe right.
Get on the Tinder.
Antarctica, there's no famous film. There's
no, it's not, is there?
There's no. It is kind of singing out for us to do one of our historical recreations.
Make believe.
All right.
Well, you. What are we going to do? You be.
How about you be Shackleton? Can we be on? We'll be on the. Can we be on the boat?
We'll be on the boat heading.
And
towards.
I will be. I'll be one of the. What do you call it? Sailors, what do you call them?
Yeah, they're sailors.
Boatsmen.
Part of the expedition.
Yeah, and I'm meeting you for the first time.
Hang on, are you going to be Shackleton or are you going to be the sailor?
I'll be Shackleton.
Yeah, you be Shackleton.
I'll be Shackleton.
You be Shackleton.
I'll be Shackleton.
And I'll be the sailor, and I don't know who you are. That's always funny.
Oh, okay. So
they were like rock stars at their time, those guys.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. People don't hear them talk. Okay, that's good. So you don't... You're not au fait with my work.
Ling,
okay,
ling.
And it's quiet out, sitting on the out on.
Yeah,
the,
a few seagulls probably. There'll be some seagulls.
Oh, we haven't got to that. We haven't frozen in yet, but it's cold.
We're getting towards the ice. Yeah.
Okay. Sure. Okay.
All right.
Steady she goes, heading south.
Hey, how you going, sir? Do I have to call you sir? Are you mate?
I am a sir. Sir.
You are sir?
Sir Ernest Shackleton.
Oh, and, I thought you were the cook on this boat.
That's offensive. But no, I am the captain, and this is my...
Expedition
to Antarctica, and welcome aboard. What's your name?
Oh, my name's Sailor Paddy.
Sailor Paddy, I like your outfit.
Sailor Paddy.
A little bit clichéd. Yeah. I don't know whether you know about Antarctica, don't you?
Well, I'm a big fan of like Mawson. Oh man, have you heard about him? Yeah, Mawson.
Yes, I do. Obviously, know about Mawson. Yeah.
And Scott, Scott's number one for me.
I was beneath him.
You were his cook.
I was his cook. Yes, and we.
Scott.
I was beneath him many times.
Scott is the king, in terms of Antarctica. Yeah. Scott is the absolute king.
But since then, obviously, you've heard of my work.
Now, what's your name again?
Ernest Shackleton.
All right. So have you been to Antarctica before?
Well, yes, three times.
Oh.
This is my third.
Oh, really? Why are you going back?
Well, because there's things we haven't discovered yet. We're looking into why the fish down there don't can still swim around. They don't freeze. We're looking at putting a hut up down there. We're going to talk
Cook's
to...
Cook's got a hut. I think and Mawson's got a hut.
Look, yes, but they haven't done it as successfully
why
as I
have.
Why do
you go to the North Pole? Why are you always down here in Antarctica?
Because did you not know where you were going and who you were going with when you lined up to join this festival? Did you not realise you were going with the with
part
the legendary
of like a job seeker job creation thing? So I didn't really want to be a sailor. I was unemployed back in Dublin, and so they just put.
Do you know anything about being a hand on a ship or things that you can do? What skill do you have?
I've seen the Titanic. I've seen that movie. But you know who also I love explorers. That's why I'm here, because I'm a big fan of explorers. That's why I love Cook. I love Mawson. I love Cook.
Yes,
Captain Cook.
A long time ago. Long time ago.
Captain Cook. Oh man. Well, have you heard about Burke and Wills in Australia? Man, those guys were legends. Like real legends.
Okay. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
Have you not read the historical essays on me? Have you not
met... What's your name again, Shackleton? How do you spell that?
Yeah. How do you spell that? Don't worry about...
Shackleton.
Shackleton. You're starting to annoy me. You asked how to annoy me. I want to test you. I want to test you.
All right.
On how your ship, you can work a ship.
Oh, okay.
See those ropes over there?
Yep.
I want you to undo that rope really quickly. Go.
Okay. I don't like being told by the cook what to do, but
I'm
anyway.
Not the cook. I'm the captain.
Oh, okay.
Untie the rope. Go.
Okay. Okay. Oh.
Yep. Good. Ooh.
Yep.
Good.
Did that.
Right. Now, I want you to take that rope.
Yep.
And you see that bit of wood sticking out over there?
Yep.
I want you to lean down. I want you to do a double bow line with a reef knot on top. Lean over, and that will help the sails go tighter, and I can pull that.
I didn't go to Scouts.
Lean over.
All right.
Lean over.
I'm leaning over.
Further.
Oh, God, this shackle is really annoying.
Further.
All right, I'm leaning over.
Further.
Gee, I wish I was with Mawson.
Further.
Oh!
I'll kick you in the ass, you young upstart. Into the ocean you go. Never to be seen again. And my neighbour will live stronger. People like you aren't needed around here.
Yeah, I never wanted to come on your ship anyway, you hack. I gotta split the Mawson's hut now. Never heard of you, mate. Wow.
That was a bit violent from Shackleton.
Shackleton. It is annoying, though, if you're in that industry and they don't know you.
Well, I don't know whether you, but I've done gigs where you do a gig and then you turn up and they always the driver that's taking you to the gig tells you how last year how good the guy was.
Yeah.
When I did a gig in Canberra, and Bob Franklin had done it the year before.
Bob, yeah.
And he goes, "Yeah, tell you who did it last year, Bob Franklin." There was
very funny man. Very funny man.
Very
well,
funny
he's funny.
Man.
Yeah,
he's very funny. Anyway, so he comes to the gig, watches the show. Then I get in the back in the car and he drives back and he goes, "I'll tell you another funny thing that Bob said." I'll be like, "Hang on a second, you just watched me for 3 hours. Did I not say anything?"
I know, it's funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is funny.
And I tell you, I like you, but I don't really like you. I tell you, it's really funny. Oh. I tell you, it's really good. Yeah.
It's annoying, but that's.
That's showbiz.
That's showbiz. So, do you want to have a guess?
I'm going to say that Tinder was actually created for people in isolated places so they could meet each other without having the problem of... So in other words, Antarctica would be a place where a thing like Tinder would be very beneficial because you could meet someone without it looking too obvious and no one would know. You could keep it.
I'm going to say Antarctica is the only continent that doesn't have Tinder.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. What is the answer, Sam?
An American scientist working at Base Camp McMurdo Station in Antarctica says he logged on to Tinder for fun to see if there were any available women in the area. When the researcher expanded the app's location radius, there was a match. Another researcher working at a deep field camp a 45-minute helicopter ride away from the base station, he swiped right, indicating his interest, and a few minutes later, they matched.
Well, there you go. So I was sort of half
right. I was wrong.
Yeah, but I was half right in that. That's incredible.
Yes.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
So you would go swipe and then you go
ding.
Ding, where are you?
Yeah, well, I assume it only brings up people in the... Maybe she, they were the only people on there. It's like, the guy's been looking at it for weeks, can't... There's no one on Tinder.
And then someone came up.
Couple of penguins.
And then it came up and then he went bang. And then I'm in cabin 3. Where are you? I'm in cabin 5.
45-minute helicopter ride away.
Oh, was it? Yeah. Oh, right. 45? That's a... Oh.
That's a long helicopter ride. I wonder if they got together.
In Antarctica.
Yeah, in Antarctica.
Oh, yeah, man, surely there's too many bits that could freeze up in a helicopter. Surely that's a scary thing.
We'll go for a joyride.
Yeah.
Strap yourself in.
Because I did a helicopter ride
oh, dude, on, I've never been in
Hawaii, on Kauai, down inside a volcano, a dead volcano.
Yeah.
Right down below the line.
Oh, my God.
So you looked all around the helicopter. It was cliff face.
And how was that?
Oh, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
A few weeks later, it went down.
The helicopter went down?
Yes.
Oh.
God, I went, oh, my God, that's the one we did.
Same pilot, you reckon?
I don't know.
That's horrific.
Incredible, yeah. I guess.
Well, you know, I don't like light planes or helicopters. I'm not a great...
Because you want more than one engine.
Well,
one pilot.
I was doing a gig once in Bandstar, which is not 3 hours from Melbourne, and they offered me to fly me down in the Paddy's private jet.
Paddy's Pies.
Paddy's Pies private jet.
Oh, but imagine the food tray. They would have to have party pies.
Des Dowling, the comedian, had been the year before. He said, it's not a private jet, it's like a Cessna. And I said, they serve pies. He goes, they serve pies. I said, well, at least when the plane crashes, they could say, well, he died doing what he loved. You know, there's his body, he's covered in blood. No, that's just sauce.